the light, and we look at the third and final part of this series. And I'm preparing this message. We can kind of look at our own lives and the relationships we have. And you ever noticed that as you build relationships with somebody, the deeper you get to know them, and the more intimate you become with them, the more you become similar? The more type of things you start liking, acting the same, joking the same. I had a roommate years ago that we shared this man, world's smallest house. Just enough for him to have room, we have room. And we got to the point that the jokes were the same. We'd finish another sentence, and usually it wasn't a good way. And we kind of conform, you know, in your own marriage. The longer you've been married, the more you even look alike. Probably because she starts telling you what to wear, right? No, maybe not. Okay. And, but you kind of like the same thing. You watch the same shows till Christmas time. Hallmark is all one movie. It's the poor kid from someone else falls in love with the rich kid from somewhere else, and then they break up. But I mean, those are the dumbest movies in the world between us. But she walks in this room, I love them. Okay, no, we'll watch them. I look forward to when we were here. He'd be amen to me, won't he?
Yes.
But you understand how things start to change in a deep relationship. And you like ways and things because you start working together in it. Well, in the light, it kind of works that way too. And we're going to see that today in today's text of 1 John. So if you open up to 1 John, not the book of John, the little tiny book in the very back, 3rd John, we're going to go to 1 John. And I want to look at this because the Apostle John writes this letter different than the Gospel. The Gospel explains his walk with Christ and the life of Jesus Christ. And the epistles is what we call them, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, are letters to churches, encouraging them in their behavior and in their doctrine and their life and obedience to God, explaining who he is and how to submit to him. And so 1 John chapter 1, go down to verse 4, and that's where we're going to start today. In verse 4 it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins." Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, Lord. I thank you for being right here with us. Lord, I thank you for calling us to yourself, giving us a way to reconcile a relationship with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. If there's someone in this room that's never placed their faith in you, this can be a day of salvation. But Lord, for each one of us in this room to evaluate our walk with you, evaluate that we are letting you shine through us and live through us, and that the world see you through us. And Lord, I ask that you would speak. You'd give me the words to say. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, and as we've been looking at this and talking about light, we're going to continue there. As Jesus, we've already seen, is the ultimate light of the world. This is not chewing tobacco, by the way. This is just locked, and so I can keep talking. But John, as he wrote this book, he tells in verse 4, this is the message. What he's doing is he's making clear to us this message is not my own. This message is not about me. And I would hope to reiterate, and I preach from this pulpit, I'm not preaching from my heart. I'm not preaching from my memory or from my wisdom. I'm preaching from the Word of God. Amen. And I hope that's what you want, you desire, whether it hurts your feelings, whether it encourages you or comforts you. I hope that you would say, preach the Word.
Amen.
Be instant in season and out of season. Just preach. That's why John's saying this, and I'm not giving you myself, because he sets it up in verse 1 through 3 describing the message, that the message is Jesus Christ. Welcome back, baby. We missed you. We're talking about those awesome movies we're going to watch every month. The Hallmark movies, and I'm excited to sit down and eat Mark Coco with me. And we talked about you too, Mark. And that you love them as much as I do. They're the best. Glad there's little games on the phone now. But anyway, John says in verse 1 through 3, he's describing the message itself, and the message is Jesus Christ. Jesus brings access to us and fellowship that we can have with the Father because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of the person of Jesus Christ, and that his message gives us joy that we saw there in verse 4. You can have joy. You want joy? Joy is a whole lot better than happiness. Because your happiness is goosebumps and lasts for a moment. And joy is deep-seated from God. It's the work of God in our heart. John here is saying, telling us Jesus' message, and he shares this. The same thing you and I are supposed to share. In verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. It was close. It was right there. You see, no darkness. Notice how he emphasizes that? No darkness at all. And so the first thing I want to look at is that light. I can't emphasize the light enough, as we've done over the last couple weeks. Is God is light throughout the scriptures. And we see the appearance of God seems to be one of light. I did something fun in junior church, not here before, previous church, and I asked the kids to draw God. Which is a scary thing, man. I'd be very scared of that. But ask them to draw God. What do you think God would look like? You know, paintings of Jesus or God always seem to have a bright light. You notice when people paint or make a picture of what they think is Jesus or God? Always a glow about them, a light around them. Probably because throughout Scripture, God's presence always includes light. If you remember the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, God saved them out of Egypt. Now they're wandering through the wilderness because they were too scared to go into where they're supposed to go. But listen here in Exodus 13, 21. Listen here. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. God made his presence known with light. Moses met with God in Exodus 34, going up on a mountain. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, later it says, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Literally, it shined to the point that people were scared of him. If you said his story, they told him, hey, cover your face, please. Now, I've been told that before, but not because of light. I just, I'm feeling hurt, but that's how it goes. They were scared because of the light coming off Moses' face. But it tells why. Because he had been talking with God. His encounter with God stuck to him. God's light was so intense, it changed how people saw Moses. Did you catch that? The light of God was so intense. That it changed how people saw him. When you spend time with God, that encounter will be so intense, people will see something different in your life. If you remember the holy place or the holy of holies in the tabernacle, this is the Old Testament, I tell you. Way back, what, 4,000, 6,000 years ago, when God told him to build a tabernacle, a place to bring worship, a special room was set up for the place that the Shekinah glory, as we call it, God would reside and set upon when he would come to their presence. But understand, that room did not have any source of light. It had no windows at all. It was completely covered and sealed. Why? Because the scripture tells us the glory of God brightened it up. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Then in the New Testament, God sent light to earth. And John chapter 1 really speaks of this, of God's word becoming flesh. And we've seen this verse in the previous message in John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This speaks of Jesus, God incarnate. You might call him Emmanuel, God with us. He said he was the light of the world. It's speaking of Jesus Christ, bringing the light of God to us. And in Jesus, in chapter 8, verse 12, proclaimed, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Catch that verse? I'm the light, and he who walks in with me shall not walk in darkness. He is the light of God that came to the world. He is God incarnate. This light offers life to all who believe and place faith in him. He gives eternal life. And as we've seen, he calls us out of darkness, out of evil, out of sin, out of hell, to walk in his marvelous light, Peter tells us. You see the complete contrast of our life before Christ and after life? Don't zone out now. It's God's word, not wrongly speaking, okay? You see the difference in your life when you follow Christ? He calls you out of the sinful life, out of evil, into his marvelous light. One time he took three apostles to a mountaintop. And then he started exposing his glory. He started letting his glory shine through his flesh. If you remember that, in Matthew 17, 2, it says, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. They saw his glory, and what did they see? Light. And it was so bright. What did they do? They passed out. I think I would too. That's how bright the glory of God is. Every time we see the glory of God, the appearance of God, it's light. There's never darkness with him. Here's a neat thing. In Revelation, the new creation, as we've studied that, listen to this verse in Revelation 21, 23. Understand there's 22 chapters in Revelation. It's the very end here. Chapter 21, 23. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Did you catch that? If you didn't, listen again. And the city, this is the new city, after he does away with the earth as we know it now, and all the universe, and he creates new. Guess what? Listen to this. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. God and Christ are such intense light that no other light source is needed. When a believer goes into eternity with God, he will never see darkness again.
Amen.
You're never going to turn the light off again. You ain't going to cast a shadow anymore. There's no darkness anymore when we live this earth. Why? Because we're under the power of God. We're in the glory of God. Now the unbeliever, when he leaves this earth, will be cast into utter darkness to never know light again. See the contrast? God's glory is so high and intense, we can't imagine it. He is literally light, which has no darkness. He casts no shadows. The scripture actually tells us that. And there is definitely a brightness about him. And we know that this light is a picture of his character. He truly does have the light, as we'll see. But also this light is a picture of his character. Darkness throughout scripture is always a representation of sinfulness, evil, and satanic works. The powers of darkness. But God is light. Jesus Christ is light. And if you remember, when the light came in the world, what happened to him? He was rejected. He was beat. He was spit on. He was hated. And Jesus explained that too in John 3:19. And this is the condemnation. This is the problem. This is the condemnation. It goes on. That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because their deeds were evil. When men saw the light of God, it didn't hurt their physical eyes because he covered it with flesh. He protected them so that they could hear the message. But when the light of God, his character came into them, it hurt their spiritual eyes. Because they loved their deeds, and their deeds were evil. They loved what they were doing. You see, the light of Christ condemned what they loved, their evil deeds, their darkness was exposed, because the life of Jesus was the evidence, an example of all that is holy, that all is right, that all that is pure, that all that is good. And when something evil is lined up next to something holy, it gets exposed. Right? When you want to see imperfection in something, you put it up to the light. When you want to see detail, you put it up to the light. When the light came into the world, it exposed our sinful nature. And man did not like it. And so what did they do? They tried to get rid of the light. And that's why John tells us God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Understand the power of the light of God. There's no speckle, no shadow of darkness in God. There's nothing evil. There's nothing sinful. There's nothing questionable about the character of God. You understand that? There's not a speck of sin around God. He can have no relationship with darkness. So this is the character of God, light, completely holy and pure and righteous, okay? So how does the believer deal with this? What do we do with this knowledge? Well, the second part here is the believer's light. Because we saw last week that we were called to be the light of the world. We were called to be the light of the world. But we notice in verse 6 here, well, we're having problems, aren't we? Yeah. Conviction, isn't it? It's a hard sermon. And I'm going to hang out for 2 weeks now after I sit there.
Bless you.
We just think God told me to say that, and it's all part of me. The believer's light. If you notice, according to what John says, there's a lot of pretenders. Women? Not a nice thing to say. There's a lot of pretenders as far as believers go. A lot of people claim the name of Jesus. But look at there, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Those who claim or say that they're believers, but they still love the darkness. They love their sinful ways. They don't want to be conformed to the image of Christ. Don't want to put on the character of God. Don't want to be conformed or convicted by the Spirit of God. They have not grown as believers to have the appearance of God. It's a slow growth, but there's a consistent growth. If they're not bearing fruit from the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says they lie. A lot of people fight over this verse. It gets people mad. You saying my kid ain't saved? I ain't saying nothing. I'm reading some verses right now. Am I right? You saying that I ain't saved? I ain't saying nothing, but I'm saying you better evaluate your salvation when you get mad at the Word of God rather than let the Spirit of God convict your own life. Hear the Word of God. Remember, we say John wrote, but he wrote through the inspiration of God, the Scripture tells us. God told him to pen this, and he writes it to us. Then we say we have fellowship with him, but we like to walk in evil sins, darkness. We are liars. We don't have fellowship with him. They lie because they, right at the end of that, they do not the truth. They don't act on what God has taught in His Word. And a word, understand, the Scriptures is called the Word of Truth. They don't walk in truth. Let me ask you, do you want to know what the Word of God says so that you have knowledge or so that you can walk in it? So you can make decisions according to it. So that it can transform your life. The devil knows this book. His knees shake at the voice of God, but he did not submit to it. You may be able to quote a whole lot of verses to me. But can I see those verses in your life? You see, John here says, no, not talking about your memorization of Scripture. It's talking about your life. If you claim to have fellowship with Him, but walk in darkness, you're a liar. Because you don't trust the ways of God. You don't love the character of the Father. And you have never submitted to the person or the Word of God. He says, so you lie. You see, you send a lot of pretenders. People who claim to be children of God. But by their fruit, by their life, they don't know. They're quiet. Now, this happens for different reasons. Maybe they never truly knew the gospel. The Scripture says, no man searches. That's why He sends us to go tell. No man really wants to know the Savior. They want to be saved, but they don't really want to know the Savior because He will change your life. And when we come to know Him, it's the greatest joy we have. Maybe they heard the gospel but never truly placed faith in Jesus Christ. They have the head knowledge because, you know what I mean? They said the little prayer. Because they're faithful to go to church. But never placed faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe they were deceived into easy salvation. And Wednesday night we had a discussion. As we're about done, somebody asked a question in Galatians. Because there's so much easy salvationism. Preach, oh, God loves you the way you are. True. But He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Okay? So much just say this prayer. How many times have you heard someone of you? And just say this prayer and you'll be saved. In Galatians 5, we see a whole list of works of the flesh and darkness that our flesh enjoys, things that we pursue, but they're counter to God's holiness. And listen to why, if you live in those works of the flesh, those areas of darkness, look what Galatians 5:21 says. Listen to these words. Listen here. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What if they said the little tribe, the little prayer on the back of this rack? What if they said some little prayer that the dude on TV told them to say? God calls us to faith, doesn't He? He didn't call us to say a little prayer. That faith will call us to pray. That faith will make us scream out to God for salvation. But His call to us is to salvation, that we are born at the time we call out in faith. Do you stop when you're first born? No, that's when the growing starts. That's when the good work starts. That He will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. That makes sense? You see, God has called us to more than just saying a prayer and going to church. He wants to use us and transform us. You cannot claim to be alive if you don't let the light transform your life. Because that salvation, the Holy Spirit is placed inside of you. You have no, if you're a believer, if you're a child of God, you don't have a choice other than the Spirit of God bringing conviction, comfort, and directing to your life. And sometimes we fight that because we're in the flesh. But the conviction will still come because if the Spirit of God is there, He hates sin because He's the Holy Spirit. He hates sin. So if the Holy Spirit's inside you, he's automatically going to cause a desire for change, a desire to grow, a desire to sanctify. So if you claim to be of God, to be in Christ, but choose to continue living in sin, you're not a child of God. Now understand, I said continue living in sin, because John says walking in sin. There's a big difference in walking in sin and falling in sin. You're not going to fall in sin on a regular basis. And God tells us to come back, to confess that to him. But when you have a desire to walk in sin and don't have a conviction of it in your life, you don't have the Spirit of God working in you. You don't have the light of God in you. This passage is clear about believers. Those who have been authentically saved by fellowship or faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a comforting passage right here. Understand, John's not saying that if you're a good boy, you're going to be saved. What he is saying, you know, is he's given an evidence for someone who has placed faith in Jesus Christ. He's saying if you are in Christ, if you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed from your sin, you have a desire to walk with him. Nowhere in Scripture says you're going to be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to be perfect. I'm pretty close. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. But no one in Scripture says that you're going to be perfect. But he's going to perfect you. He's going to bring you to perfection so that the day you see Jesus face to face, you are perfect. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. And the work is his. And he can work in us. You see the opposite. So he doesn't tell us we're going to be perfect. He tells us throughout Scripture that we will need to continually repent. Right here in 1 John chapter 1. Let's go down a couple of verses. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Anyone in here want to say that you don't sin no more? But we all will call you a liar at the same time. Yeah? We all fall into sin because God judges the heart. He knows our thoughts. He says, ain't nobody that can say they don't sin. But he continues here. If we confess our sins, it's already made a point. You know your sin. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then again, just in case you didn't get it before, look at the last verse. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I say, listen, quit trying to act like you don't sin. Or as a saying today would go, quit acting like your poop don't stink. I'm not supposed to say that from the pulpit, am I? But I had to wake some of y'all up. It's hot in here. But acting like you don't sin, John's saying. If you say you don't sin, you call God a liar. And it ain't him that's lying, it's you lying. All you got to do, John says, listen, if you do sin, which our desire as believers is to walk in righteousness and in holiness and in light. But when you fall, he makes it real clear as believers that we can consistently come back to the feet of the cross, not for salvation, but to restore our walk with God. Kind of like sometimes when you hurt somebody with a word that you say, and you need to come to them, and here's how you fix most problems, and we don't do it. I'm sorry. You know how I know that? I've been married 24 years. She has to say it a lot. No. So, Walter, can I go to your house this afternoon? Okay. I'm sorry, Bill. That would fix most problems. That's all God wants. That's to come to the cross and say, Lord, in spite of all you've done for me, I fell again. You know what he says? I love you, son. I love you, son. Come back. That is not to be saved again. That's to restore the walk, to restore the joy, to restore the peace that we have in Him. Because when sin starts interfering in our relationship, it hurts the blessing He pours out on me. When sin gets in between our relationship and we get upset each other, it hurts our fellowship, the good time that we have together. And we get upset. I know most of you married people don't understand this, but when we get in arguments, if we don't deal with it, it gets worse. You with me? I was hoping somebody said amen. Thank you, Gary. But when you deal with it, you can draw back together. And I love her enough saying, I forgive you. And she loves me enough to say it many times every day. But it allows us to come to bed together and enjoy fellowship again. Have that peace in our relationship where we can laugh again together. That's all God says. He says, you're going to sin because you're weak. Because you're in the flesh. But here's what I want you to do. Just come back to me and admit it. Confess it. Get it out of the way and let's move forward. See, as believers, our goal in our life is holiness. We should want to walk with Him on a regular basis. Our desire is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's why in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't be like the world. The world walks in darkness. The world loves their sinful ways. The world loves the ways of evil. You say, no, that's weird. Evil is anything contrary to the character of God. Evil is anything that's not pure, anything that's not holy, anything that's not righteous. And that's where we should want to walk, is in the light. Complete opposite of the ways of the world. And when we love our Savior Jesus, and we love the Father who adopted us through the blood of Christ, we start to carry His character. Remember earlier, when you draw more intimate with somebody, what happens? You start liking some of the same stuff, start being in life, talking about the same stuff, talking about the same stuff. That's what happens when you draw intimate with God. You start talking more like God. Talking about the things of God. And so it changes us. We submit to His authority, understanding who He is and who I am. We appreciate His love. And when we do that, what? According to verse 12, Romans chapter 12, we'll start to prove or test everything to make sure it fits His character. Hey, let's go do this. You take a second. I don't think that would honor God. I don't think Christ would do that. We let His light start shining through us more and more. The effect of carrying the light is this. In Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What's the effect of the good works in you? What's the effect of proving and testing everything? What's the effect of having the character of Jesus Christ? Other people notice, and do they notice you? No, because it's not about you. If you're in Christ, who's it about? They'll see your light and they will glorify the Father, the Godhead, God Himself, who sent Jesus Christ to save us. This is the effect God would have on us, that people can't help but to see we fellowship with the Holy God. And they'll want to know Him because of His work in and through us. This means, here's to tie it up. This means you don't get to look like the world. You don't get to talk like the world. You don't get celebrated like the world. Why? You're different. We are different, all right? But as the same person, you're different. Why? Scripture says you're sanctified. You're separated from the world. You're God's. You're to brighten the place for God's glory. And that will let people see God working in and through you. Believer, you're to shine the light of Jesus Christ in this world. And if you don't, if you're satisfied walking in darkness, God says you don't have fellowship with the light. You never let the blood of Jesus Christ wash away your sins, giving you access to the Father, giving you rights to His glory, giving you a mansion for eternity. You don't have that relationship that He calls us to, because the light of God will transform you if you have it. Christ has made it simple for you and I. He made it simple, I didn't say He made it easy. Walking in light is a tough thing. It changes us, transforms us, it makes us separate. You stick out, but He makes it simple. Because He's paid for your sinfulness with the holy blood of Jesus Christ. And in order to receive His holiness, all you have to do is place faith in Him. Trust the person of Jesus. Trust the work of Jesus. And when you place faith in Him, you will call out to Him for salvation. That's why Romans 10:13 tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We saw in Sunday school today that call and that offer is to anyone. Anyone.
Okay.
I don't know who you are in this room that's wondering about the walk of Christ, about being authentic. He's calling you to salvation. Faith in Jesus is going to cause repentance in you. When you place faith in Him and you call upon Him, you'll repent of sin and start turning to Him more and more. There's a change of mind of what you want and what you like, and it causes you to change direction, turning away from sin. And if you've never done this, it's not too late. You can be saved. I'll be around after church. I'd love to sit with you and show you in God's Word, not by my Word, God's Word, how you can be saved. It's very simple. But if you are a child of God, if you're saved by faith in Jesus, let me get your attention now. Don't worry about that door. Don't worry about God's Word. Someone's just having fun swinging back and forth. You know why? You're a child of God. You love the Word of God. And if you're saved by the faith in Jesus, He wants to work in you. He wants to shine through you. He wants to make Himself known to you. This is the privilege that Ephesus tells us, the book of Ephesians, Jesus is still perfecting you. He's making us ready to meet Him face to face. He's maturing us. Those growing pains as Christians that we go through, we start learning things that don't honor God, or we are things that God wants us to do. We're like, oh, that's tough. He gives us the power to do it. He gives us peace and joy in doing it. That's what He wants to do in your life. As it grows, that we can only have through intimacy with Him. Intimacy in growing and reading God's Word. Intimacy in spending time in prayer. Intimacy in joining His church body to be challenged together, to worship together, to encourage one another. And we can celebrate. We celebrate the light of God came to us. Check this out. He came to us in the form of Jesus. He resides in us in the form of the Holy Spirit, and He shines through us to make the Father known. Amen. Is your life being used by God for His glory? Would you stand with me? We're closing a song today rather than invitation. I challenge you to sing it loud because you don't want to hear my voice try to sing first off. It'll be number 375, and the words will be behind me. And it's a song that you're familiar with, Heavenly Sunlight. Are we thankful that God sent His light to us? And not only did He finish there, He says, I want to let the light shine through you. Let's let it.